So my big impossible right now.
So my impossible is...
My impossible.
The impossible.
I think the impossible...
An impossible dream that I think we could pull off one day would be...
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories.
Today's guest is Dr. Elliot Eisenberg. He's an intellectually curious, lifelong learner with a witty sense of humor that makes him a remarkable storyteller. He's also known as the bow tie economist who, through his consulting and keynote presentations, demystifies the intricacies of the economic indicators impacting our companies and communities. This is Elliot's story.
People who know you best would describe you as?
Childish, inquisitive, and a lover of humor, I would say.
Ooh, love that.
Yep.
What about today's version of yourself would impress your 10 years younger self?
I think this is a theme that we'll come back to in other questions, I think, down the road. But it's having faith in yourself, trusting yourself, and taking some risk and being a little courageous. I'm not jumping off trains here, don't get me wrong, but it's more, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I got this. I got this. I was a little gun shy, afraid of my own shadow, maybe. I mean, whatever, but now I'm more confident and more self-secure, not cocky, but, you know, confident.
Yes. What's your most unpopular music opinion?
Oh, I dislike generally rap. I really do. Okay. I like melodious music.
Yes.
I like, you know, it's got to have a jazz or classical or rock, even rock. If it's not melodious enough, I'm not such a big fan, unless you just want hard driving beat, you know, mm-hmm. but rap, I never got into rap. I don't know why I never did. I don't think people who listen to it are bad in anything. It's just a choice of music, but it's not my choice.
Yes. Yes. When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
Oh, that's pretty frequent. My kitchen floor is regularly gets a routine workout.
Yeah.
I make some music I like and I just start going at it, right? I'm just by myself. If I'm with my girlfriend or something, all the better, obviously. But yeah, let's just go, you know? Or I have my ear pods in, my iPods, you know, my ears, and I hear something in the supermarket and there I am and in line with my shopping cart or buggy, whatever you call it. Yes. And I'm dancing in this. Well, my feet aren't hurting at that point, but yeah, lots, often.
Love that. What's the book, song, or movie that said the words you couldn't say?
You know, it's got to be there in my head, but I just blocked it out, obviously, because nothing has come to mind.
Okay.
I sent this questionnaire out, you know, a few weeks ago. I thought, oh, it'll come back. I'll come back to these questions. And I get creative answers.
Yeah.
But that one was one I really didn't. Like a book, a movie. I don't know. Sorry. Zero on that one, Tansley. I apologize.
Well, if it comes to you in a few weeks, you can just send it to me and we'll add it in.
Thank you for the offer. Thank you. I'm nervous. As a banker, I'm nervous that I get to re-review my spreadsheets here. I'm nervous here.
Yes. What gets an undeserved bad reputation?
I think Michigan.
Agree. Let's go.
Yeah. I tell people, oh, I'm going to Detroit to give a speech. I'm going to Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo or whatever. Oh, rah, 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 rah. And I go, you don't understand. The UP's gorgeous. Ann Arbor, spectacular. I hate to say this, but from Grand Rapids going northeast, right? Yeah. The top quarter of Michigan, up to Mackinac Island, spectacularly beautiful. I mean, it's a great state. It really is. I'm not just pandering here to the crowd, but you know, people think, oh, Detroit's just a down and out town, and that's the entire state of Michigan, and it's not.
So, and Detroit's not down and out either. Detroit is rocking, I'm telling you.
That's also true, right? Yes. And they now have, fortunately, on the verge of finishing the Gordie Howe Bridge, which is good for America and good for construction activity and so on and so forth. Yes. Hopefully the Red Wings have a better season, you know. So I'm a fan of Michigan. It's an important state economically. We want Michigan to succeed and do well, auto sales and auto manufacturing and so on. So I'm a booster.
I love it. What's your favorite thing that someone you admire does?
Okay, so this is a bit of a sad story. It's going to make me tear up a little bit. But I was, he's now dead, a big fan of Alex Navalny.
Okay.
He was the Russian guy, yeah. A politician, but more than a politician, who really gave Putin fits of pique and hostility. And Putin tried to kill him. And then he eventually killed him a few weeks ago. He dies while in some gulag in the archipelago somewhere in some Frozenville part of Russia. And these guys like him that I really respect, they take real risk. I mean, that was unbelievable, putting your life on the line, knowing you're going to be killed. That's unbelievable. But people who take real risk for the good of society, for the good of humanity, for the good of the world, wow, I'm really impressed. And I must say, I don't have those kinds of courage. That much courage, I don't have. So I respect it unbelievably and have told people about Navalny for years and so on and so forth. He's like number one in my book.
I agree. Tell us about your impossible.
My impossible, I hate to say this, is trying to work a little less.
Oh, that's so interesting. Really?
Yeah. I work too much. I love what I do so much. I love economics. I get up, I work all day. I travel a lot to give presentations, which you've been on the receiving end of, you know, as a client, as an audience member, whatever. I love what I do, but it's just, you know, you gotta have some semblance of balance in your life. Yeah. And I'm probably making at the margin some wrong choices. If I worked 10% less, I'd probably be a happier person. Wow. And other people would be happier with me. Yeah. I have to listen to those people. They have some influence on my life and they're important to me. So,
yeah. What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
Oh my God, there's a laundry list of a million of them. And they change over time. Like right now it's how to work less,
yeah.
how to learn to say no. That's not easy. You always want to, I'm a person who wants to say, yeah, we'll make that work. Yeah. Right. Even if it means I stay up late, I work too long, I whatever. You got to learn to say no, right? That's, what was the question again? I'm sorry, exactly here.
Oh yeah. So what are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
Yeah. So going to college seemed insurmountable. Getting a first job seemed insurmountable. All of these, so many of these rites of passage, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. Having a good marriage. Okay. That didn't quite work out on that one. But you get my point.
Yeah.
So much of life seems insurmountable.
Yeah.
It really does. Earning enough to live by yourself. Oh, how will I ever get rid of housemates or whatever it is?
Yeah.
You overcome these things with enough intestinal fortitude and mental health and struggle. You overcome these things. But each one, it's as if every successful goal you achieve brings you to a new point where, oh my God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe I should stop working. So stop working hard. Maybe I should stop achieving more because when you achieve more, well, did I have a new problem just appeared? You know, right. if you buy a house, now you got to take care of the house. Or you want a second vacation home? Well, now you got to take care of a vacation home or whatever it is, right? A second car or whatever. It's all about, people say, oh, buy a boat here. I don't want a boat.
Right. No.
I don't want it. But these are all, if I were to get a boat, that would be a new challenge, for example. So you've got to pick those challenges carefully. But every success leads you to a new struggle.
Was there a point during your journey when you felt like giving up?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll tell you the weakest moment.
Yeah.
Was I was getting my PhD. I had finished my coursework. So I was what's called ABD, all but dissertation. I mean, that's a big but. But you've done, you know, half or two thirds of the work or whatever it is at that point. And I just wanted to stop. I so wanted to stop. And like all my friends, they're married. They have children. They're buying cars and houses. They have lives. And I have a school bag and my professor says I'm doing well. It's like, I'm a child by comparison. And I felt if I didn't finish, I'd be a loser. So I didn't. I completed it, but it was very hard. It was really a very tough task. So there you go.
Yeah.
I felt like I couldn't do it.
Hmm. What's one thing you've learned through your impossibilities about yourself?
I have inner strength that I didn't know I had, one. Mm-hmm. And two, mental health is really the most important thing. Yeah. And this isn't like, you know, I was an incompetent person who stayed home and sat under a desk and curled up in a fetal position with the lights closed and the windows dark. You know, mm-hmm. I was a functioning, happy person. Don't get me wrong. But more mental health is always a better thing. There's no downside to getting better mental health. Whatever problems you have that are interfering in your life, whatever they are, try and figure them out. And the way you know you've got a problem is when your response to something is out of whack. Oh, the mail comes late one day. And then suddenly go off on the mailman. I mean, you know, I'm giving an example, but you know, that's totally inappropriate response. Yeah. They changed their route. The mail got to them late. Who knows what? Or you're in line, or the dry cleaning, you got a little crease on your shirt. Just chill out. That telling you there's a response in your system that's inappropriate to the stimulus, and you got to figure it out.
Mm. What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use the fire in their bellies to bring their impossible dreams to life?
You can do it. Just tell yourself. You can't just tell yourself you can do it. That's not really appropriate. But at some level, you've got more strength than you know. You have more skills than you believe you have.
Yeah.
I've always, not always, but often underestimated the talent that I bring to the table. Mm. Thought, well, how can you be hiring me? Or what do I know? You're much smarter. You're older. You're younger. You're faster. You're shrewder. You're more intelligent. Whatever it is. But no, we all bring special things to the table. Know what it is that you bring to the table and push hard on those. And you can achieve a lot more than you thought. Don't underestimate yourself.
What do you look forward to most in the next 12 months?
Hopefully dialing down work a little bit and being able to say, yeah, I've cut back 10%. I mean, nothing remarkable here. It's not like, whoa, I'm going to work half as much. No, I love what I do too much. If I didn't do it, I'd be unhappy. But trying to really set out a course, a way to accomplish that goal. I think that's the key. Operationalize the goal. So my desire is to work less. How am I going to do it? I have a couple thoughts. One is to not work on Fridays. One is to not work in July. I mean, whatever it is, but yeah. Operationalize this task so that I can help myself succeed. Because if I don't, to some extent, I feel like I'm a dog and there's a food tray dish and I'm just going to eat the food. So make it funny, and then help yourself chart a course to success.
Okay. So beyond working less, what's your next impossible, my friend?
Oh, my next impossible. Oh yeah. My God.
What comes next?
Okay. Comedy camp is next.
Oh, that's great. What's comedy camp?
So you go to a place that's run by a comedian, and you know, one of these guys you've seen on Jimmy Fallon or Dave yeah. Letterman or whatever, depending on your age, Jimmy Carson thing, Johnny Carson, I'm sorry. Yeah. And they teach you the art and craft of humor. So, I mean, I have good timing. I'm good on stage. I got that. But I don't know how to create a joke, for example. Oh. How do you take, for example, Meghan Markle, right? And politics and make a joke. I mean, there's a formulaic approach. There's yeah. skill, of course, and talent and expertise. Yeah, yeah. But what's the, just tell me how to do it and then let me practice a little bit. And maybe I'll improve my timing and improve my rhythm or my body language or whatever it is. But this would be a skill I would like to learn to do and maybe even learn to do a little bit of stand-up. Push yourself out there. Try something new. It's a little scary. I have to believe in myself. I think I have these skills. I can do it. I have mental health. Okay, Elliot, go.
Yes. Who's someone else that should share their story with us?
I've thought about that. Yeah. And there's a woman I know who does amazing things with credit.
Ooh.
She can explain to you, literally explain to you, your FICO score.
Ooh, that's
if you tell her just three or four things. I have three credit cards. I pay them on time every month. My balance is there. She'll tell you your FICO score and she'll tell you how to improve it.
Ooh.
This isn't, you know, give her thousands of dollars. And no, yeah. A book you can buy for $10. She has webinar, TikToks that you can follow on for free. Oh. I mean, there's no, she's not there to sell you some garbage, you know, no credit repair, none of that crap.
Yeah.
And she's Alyssa Glutz's name. I think what she does is a tremendous service. I have learned, I thought I was a pretty savvy guy and I couldn't understand why my FICO score was so low. I mean, it wasn't that low. It was in the upper 700s, but I couldn't crack 800 for the love of God. And she told me exactly why I couldn't do it. And it was nothing that was wrong. It was that I wasn't paying attention to the rules of FICO.
Yeah.
Because you have to get your balances down the right day when they check. I mean, it's a crazy process, but those are the rules. And if you think you know the rules, you don't know the rules.
Yeah.
So if you want to bump your FICO score up a little bit, she's the person to tell you how to do it.
Okay.
I've learned so much. It's amazing.
So when you think about the role that mental health plays in achieving the impossible, you know, I think what you've heard is a roller coaster of people's lives. And so I don't have any evidence of this. Yet my sense would be from the stories we've heard that many of these people, and some of them quite outwardly so, have had some extraordinarily dark moments that I imagine had significant mental health implications. And I think if you're a dreamer, your mental health can be challenged. You know, I think that when you wish to change the world and have the capacity to see what's really bold, it can feel frustrating and sometimes really daunting that it's taking so long, that other people don't see it, you know, and the journey can sometimes be really long, which can have negative implications for those dreamers. So, you know, I don't know evidentially. And I would say that my instinct is you're hearing in these people's journeys the roller coaster that is life, which I think is a roller coaster of mental health. I believe that you, in order to achieve the impossible or even get close to it, there is a necessity of vulnerability because it's fraught with failure. And I do think that for those of us who keep chasing impossible dreams and probably keep growing how big those dreams are, that having experienced those failures, you know, I think it fuels the next dream. I think it also informs your ability to walk through fire, which is oftentimes what you're doing. Okay, what's something that gets an undeserved bad reputation? Oh, so many things. I mean, the easy one I'll give you is Dave Matthews Band. There's a host of haters that hate Dave. And so that is patently false. And I would say to you, having taken people to see Dave play who might not have been haters, but certainly didn't love Dave. When you see Dave live, mostly you can bring people along. So I would say Dave and, oh gosh. You know, I think the other thing that gets an undeserved bad reputation is candor. You know, I think in organizations especially, but in relationships too, I think most of us, and I think I spent most of my first 35 years on earth being in this camp, which is just do everything you can to navigate without having to say hard things. And I think as you grow into leadership, and I think the very best leaders recognize that candor is kindness and that you make more progress when you have built enough relationship with those around you to be candid.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.